Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bloodlines here at EuroFolkRadio.com, September 17th, 2017. My, how time flies when you're having fun. How are you doing this morning, Pastor Steve?
I'm finer than frog hair split twice.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. We got a post by Brother Hebert in the chat room about the 91st day.
Okay.
And if I may take a moment, if you would give me leave, sir, I would like to read this. Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai. He is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall by your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong. Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent. For he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lion and cobra, young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and honor him. With long life I fill him and show him my deliverance. Amen and amen.
Deliverance. Well, that's what Feast of Tabernacles is all about. When the last day of this current world order, that's when we get raptured, folks. And that, but rapture really means getting our glory bodies and becoming citizens of the kingdom. And of course, the 144,000 Israelites of all the 12 tribes will become the administrators of the kingdom directly under Yahshua, our king.
Yep.
And it's going to be a kingdom,
folks. We will overcome with El, or we will rule as El, as divine beings.
Yes.
That's what Israel means.
That's exactly right. So this is what our anticipation, and Brother Steve, it can't happen soon enough.
Oh, boy.
It can't happen soon enough.
Man. Right. Yeah, but I'm afraid we're going to have to go through some tough times here before it all gets done.
Yes.
The fruit is not fully ripe on the tree yet, and the fullness of the evil of Amalek is not yet fulfilled. And who is Amalek today but the Antichrist Jews? They have mingled with all of those ites, and they are part of the Amalekites as well. They are a racial soup, and a soup of evil, an evil soup.
Right.
So
no,
he's given them enough rope to hang themselves. Our people are going to have a long memory, and Yahweh and Yahshua have a perfect memory. So they will seek them out when Yahshua returns, and it won't be for their good.
That's so. Right. I just want to point out to everybody that EFR is getting an overhaul, and the front page with the Eurofolk Radio Listen Live, and a nice big player, and so you don't need a magnifying glass to find the player. However, I'm still having difficulty finding the chat room. If you click on Listen Live now, the chat box will appear in the upper right-hand corner. It currently has the number 22 in the far upper right corner. And
Shows the number that are actually in the chat.
Right. Yeah. But it doesn't say chat, you know, so unless you know this, so Paul needs to add a little, a blurb there saying chat room here, and maybe have a flashing light to draw people's attention to it, right? Because you wouldn't know it was a chat room if you just saw that little blue number.
Yeah, it's a blue box with a white number.
Right. So, okay. So that's how you get into the chat room, folks, because that's a change. And so with all the upgrades and changes, we hope to reach more people and make Eurofolk Radio more user-friendly as the days proceed. All right, so today ought to be the last installment of the meaning and significance of the Hebrew feast days. And from the document, actually, let me go to Anglo-Saxon Israel and put this link in the chat room for the article that we've been referencing here. And Pastor Steve, I don't. Do you have it up?
No, my lungs are falling out again. I'm trying to get my lungs clear. I'll get it up. Just a second.
Yeah, and I'll put this link into the chat room real quick so people can follow along. Rats. Unable to
Rats.
Connect. Yeah, it says unable to connect. So,
oh, man.
No, here we go. Okay, it worked. Okay, so there's the HTTP, the URL. And I'm going to be quoting from the prophetic fulfillment of the last three feasts. Okay, and we have covered extensively the fact that the spring feasts were fulfilled at the first advent, and the last three feasts will be fulfilled at the second advent. And the vast majority of Christians have no idea that this is the case. This is not being taught from the Judeo-Christian pulpits. And what's being taught from the Judeo-pulpits is nothing but fantasy. It's called Christianity, but it's really fantasy. It has really nothing to... They're not doing anything to prepare their flock for this judgment day. They're not doing anything to prepare the flock.
Nope.
Yeah, okay.
They are not.
All right, so reading from the document here, since the spring feasts were all fulfilled in the same year, I expect that the fall feasts will also be fulfilled in the same year. And by the way, there are more and more websites popping up teaching this and teaching that the feast days have prophetic significance, right? But your mainstream Christian has no idea that this is the case. Whatever year this will be, it will begin with the Feast of Trumpets, which will probably be announced by the mysterious seven thunders of Revelation 10:3-4. And of course, we're talking about the feast. We already talked about the Feast of Trumpets being, and that begins at the very first day of fall.
Okay. And that's
coming right up.
That is.
September 22nd. September 22nd.
Sundown tonight till sundown of the 18th.
Okay. Yes. Popularly
That's the Feast of Trumpets.
Right. So
it's here.
It's here. Popularly celebrated by
sundown
on the 22nd.
Yes.
Yeah. Or 21st. The popular celebration is the 21st, the fall equinox. However, the Hebrew calendar is arranged somewhat differently, and it just approximates the fall equinox. But it's still a resoundingly agricultural calendar, okay? Let's see. Let me back up here.
On the 27th of this month, actually the sundown of the 26th, to sundown of the 27th is Yom Kippur, the day of the covering over of our sins. It is a fast day, and you fast in honor of Yahweh, and you read the scripture all about the salvation. Just stay in the scripture all day. Don't do anything. It is a high holy day. There is no work allowed.
Right. And the whole point of the Feast of Tabernacles with the command, and these commands are still obligatory. The form has changed in many cases. However you can manage to practice these feasts. You don't always have to assemble, but it's advisable to assemble. Okay? You're just going to have a whole lot more fun, you know, fellowshipping with fellow Christian Israelites and getting ready
Yom
for...
Yom Kippur you can do in your home.
Right.
With friends that will observe the holiday. You can
yes.
all
yeah.
sit around and take turns reading scripture verses. You can yeah. drink water.
Yeah, and Feast of Trumpets also. Yeah.
Huh?
Feast of Trumpets also. You don't have to go anywhere for Feast of Trumpets.
That's right.
Okay.
That's correct.
However, the one command is the Feast of Tabernacles. You have to do this outdoors. Okay.
Yeah. You don't have to travel to do it. You can do it on your balcony. You can do it in your backyard.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because it symbolizes the hard times when the economy collapses, when Mystery Babylon begins to burn, then the usual expected economy, right? Food on the shelves, provisions at Walmart, and what's some of the bigger, you know, outdoor type commercial outlets. That's all going to be gone, you know. You may not be able to get a sleeping bag anymore because when the economy collapses, guess what happens? Blacks rampage and clean the stuff off the shelves before you can buy it. All right, this is what you're going to have to anticipate. It is going to get this bad and worse, okay? So what you've seen of blacks cleaning out stores during hurricanes and other storms, that will all have taken place, and you won't be able to buy stuff anymore. So you're going to have to be prepared to ride out the storm. Okay?
Yep. That's what I've been teaching.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Feast of Tabernacles. Leviticus 23:34. Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the 7th month, Yahweh's Feast of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. This is from Deuteronomy 16:13. Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. Okay? So, in other words, this is the fall harvest feast, and it has to wait until the ingathering of all of the produce. Otherwise, there won't be any farmers to collect it, all right? So we have to collect our harvest first, and then we use this freshly gathered food to take it to the Feast of Tabernacles. So this is an extremely, celebratory feast. However, it also symbolizes the Day of Judgment, and let me continue reading here. Numbers 29 presents the greatest detail with respect to this feast, with each day requiring different sacrifices. Given the complexity of all these sacrifices, the Old Testament Feast of Tabernacles required great, even meticulous preparation. And that's what we're teaching here. You have to meticulously prepare for the last Feast of Tabernacles, because there will be no world order. The old world order will be completely gone. There won't be any stores to buy stuff from. There's going to be a completely new world. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. With respect to prophecy, the Feast of Tabernacles represents the 7 days of tribulation, which occur just before the second coming, the 8th day, and this is Numbers 29:35. Those of us who see this day coming are well advised to make meticulous preparations for the collapse of civilization as we know it. And here's a good opportunity to promote your preparation day shows, Pastor Steve.
Yeah, I've been doing those on the Wake Up Call series. I stress that there will be no opportunity to resupply.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the major cities will be a death trap. They will empty the food stores within 24 hours.
Yeah, if not sooner.
they will steal anything, and even if they don't need it and can't sell it, can't trade it, they'll steal it just to steal it, because that's what they do.
That's right. That is what they do.
medical supply. You need to start preparing now. Oh, I'll get around to it. No, you won't. You won't get around to it.
Yeah.
You won't have the opportunity. You won't have the opportunity to get around to it. And then you're gonna come staggering into somebody's camp. Oh, I don't have anything. Yeah, that's right. You don't. You don't have a thing.
Who are you?
And you're gonna put the burden on those that have prepared. And the being Christians, they'll help you. But is it right to do that? You need to man up and do it now.
And woman up.
Woman up. Yep. I've got that list.
Yeah.
I'll have that list complete, and then I'll publish it, and I'll put it on my website. Okay? The responsibility lies on you. You're either going to do it, or you're going to fiddle your time away like the grasshopper and the ants. Grasshopper put nothing away.
Yes.
Well, in this scenario that's coming up, that will mean your death and the death of your family.
Yeah.
Because these monsters that are roaming out here will cheerfully kill your white children after abusing them severely.
Yeah.
Because you would not do that. It's unthinkable to you to do things like that to a child. It is not unthinkable to these animals that we are dealing with.
Yes.
You think they won't kill white babies? They most certainly will. That's a horrible thought. I don't want to hear that. I don't care what you want to hear. I'm telling you what you need to keep your little white children safe. You know, that's going to be on you. One man can't fight off 15 thugs unless he's prepared.
That's right.
And it's better, because there's strength in numbers, better to assemble
right
a little group in your area, even if all of them aren't Christian identity. Get a crew together and plan an escape route, and have a plan B and C. Plan a route out. If you live in the city, plan a route out of town. The country folk are going to have it a little easier. They'll be ready. They've got stuff.
Right. They won't have far to go.
Because these thugs don't want to go out in the countryside, because all us hillbillies out here have guns.
That's right.
A shotgun, yeah. A rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Well, you know, they don't, the country people have a different mindset than the city people.
That's right.
Remember, that's how it is.
Remember that movie Easy Rider? they don't cotton to long-haired hippies.
Nope. Well, right?
Yeah. And if you come in their territory.
You need to get yourself physically fit. I try to walk a lot. I have lung problem. I have chronic bronchitis. As you notice a lot of my shows, I'll be talking along, and all of a sudden I just run out of breath, and I have to cough, and I have to mute the mic and cough, because it's rough.
All right. I don't want to be camping with you, bro.
It's something.
Get that cough under control. Yeah.
It's something that I have damage in my bronchial tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me cough. I don't have a disease. It's chemical
damage.
Burns from
right.
paint.
Yeah, exactly.
I was painting, and I had a bad filter in a paint mask, and I got a lung full of paint with heart in it, and it ate up my bronchial tubes.
Right, right, yeah.
I was coughing up blood for a long time. I had to go to the hospital and all that.
Right, right, yeah.
And I have a chronic problem now that I have to deal with. Mm-hmm. But I'm still on the air. I've got I leave my cursor on the mute button when I have a real bad coughing spell.
Right, right. But it seems to me, Pastor Steve, it's getting better. Yeah, you're coughing less than
I'm
you used to.
I'm coughing less because I'm taking all my herbs.
Okay.
Herbs.
Herbs.
Herbs. Yeah. Taking the herbs.
Drugs.
And I'm walking a lot. I'm walking a lot.
That's right.
A
me too.
A lot. And I got a new copper threaded a knee brace for that left knee, and I wear it a lot, and it takes all the pain out of that.
Great.
And I'm going to buy another one. I have several sets of glasses. I mean, I've got a whole list of stuff that I've done. I just bought a new backpacking tent because my Feast of Tabernacles tent is like a castle. It's big.
Right.
And Eli and I both put cots and stuff in there. We sleep in comfort.
Yeah,
but
up off the ground.
I have a three-man backpacking tent that would be enough for me when I'm on the run. I have my two-wheel truck. I've got all these supplies. I'm going to do a demo of how to put a go-pack together with all, medical supplies.
Right.
And I'm going to show that at Feast of Tabernacles this year. I'm going to have that list of everything that you need, and I'm going to give those lists out.
Yes.
I have that Psalm 91 that I read today. I have a whole bunch of those, and they're laminated in plastic very nicely, very clean, nice big print. And you can take a thumbtack and put that up on your wall and put it in your house. I'm going to give those out. We're going to do a medical seminar on plants that are medicinal plants that you can identify. This is going to be a very different survival-oriented Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah. Yes, right. All those marijuana users will have to learn other plants as well, right?
Well, there's enough pot growing out in the wilderness, but...
right. Yeah.
Brother Hebert puts, there will be safe places at Berkeley.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
Right. Oh, and he also says, don't be like the foolish virgins, which is definitely worth citing here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Okay. There's all kinds of stuff about the bridegroom, obviously being Yeshua. And he wants a chaste virgin. He doesn't want a filthy virgin, okay? And the white garments represent righteousness, folks.
Purity and righteousness, that is correct.
1 John says, love is keeping the commandments. So those commandments have not been done away with. The Judeo churches are simply lying through their teeth to their flock when they say that. Verse 2, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. So about half and half, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried. That's 2,000 years of tarrying here, folks, between
He's about done tarrying.
Yeah, he's about done tarrying.
So I keep telling everybody, we're running out of time.
Right. That's right. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, at midnight when most people are asleep, he comes as a thief in the night. Be prepared, folks. Have your marching boots beside your cot. You don't want to be trying to go outside in slippers. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Okay, Pastor Steve, all of these Judeo-Christians who are waiting to be raptured, it doesn't say here that they're going to be raptured first. It says the bridegroom's here.
Well.
Okay, so are they going to be ready?
They have been deceived. The whole idea is to drop little lies in the doctrine and deceive the people, hopefully to break their faith, as was tried with Jonah.
That's right.
Or Job, pardon me. The devil wants nothing more than to break our faith and make us lose hope. Oh, who can fight the beast? Yeshua.
That's right.
Okay, we look around. We see drones. We see attack helicopters. And we see armored personnel carriers with 50-caliber machine guns like they brought against the Mormons in Texas. when they were trying to get them for having young wives or whatever. And those people were unarmed, and they took all the children, and then they sued, and they won and got their kids back. They violated their rights. Didn't matter a hoot and a holler about the law or what was right and what was wrong. Sure. Well, when push comes to shove, there will be no law. It will be lawlessness in those days. There will be no police force that will help you. You don't have any rights. You don't have any rights now. They may be on paper, but it doesn't mean a hoot and holler. They don't allow you to have them because the courts are controlled by you-know-who. Okay? And the police force is taking orders from you-know-who. All the old cops that you used to see that would protect and serve, they're all gone. Yeah, now they have a bunch of young thugs with badges. They're a bunch of bullies that will hurt you. Doesn't matter whether you're doing anything or not. They'll hurt you just for the hell of it. They'll push you around and beat you with a phone book so there's no marks. They'll keep you in jail for days. They won't let you contact anybody. I have the right to a lawyer. Oh, shut up and lay down.
Right.
You don't have any rights. There is no legal recourse. Legality is of the devil now.
That's right. Absolutely.
Because these are the last days, and what is evil has become good, and what is good has become evil. And if you are righteous and you try to obey Yahweh's laws, you are now evil. You are a hater. You are a racist. You're a Nazi. You're a this. You're a that. Pick one. Or
yes.
more.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and you will be labeled because of your stand. And what did Yeshua said? You will be persecuted for my name's sake. He told us this. We need to be prepared for this. If we really believe in him, we need to believe in all his words, not just the ones that are pleasing to us. We need to take everything he said as fact because he is Yahweh in the flesh. He was the only begotten son of Yahweh, of a woman, to give him a fleshly body to suffer what he suffered to lift our sins up from upon us. That's the whole idea. And he will tabernacle with us, so he will be coming back, pardon me, at one of these Feast of Tabernacles, and these are preparatory practice sessions starting this year, at least in Kentucky it's going to be. It's going to be a practice session with seminars and stuff on how to get through what we're going to have to go through. Right. We take this very seriously down here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and us city folk need to take it seriously, too, by preparing a sanctuary out somewhere.
Well, Pastor Dan's working on that, as well as a number of other people.
Right.
Ark places, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Will be sanctuary ark communities.
Yeah, right. Note very carefully here in verse 6, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Okay, so he's not going to come into your apartment.
No.
You have to go outside to meet him. Okay? This is going to be outdoorsy stuff, folks. All right?
Yep. So where did he preach? He preached on mountainsides.
Yes.
He sat on a rock, not in a mega cathedral, and he preached to the multitudes
That's
of Israelites that came to hear him.
Yes, and so shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. It will be outside, folks. It's not going to be comfy cozy, but the more prepared you are, the more, how should I put it, endurable, right? It will be as a seasoned outdoorsman. Okay, my wife and I went up into the mountains of Colorado on our honeymoon above the tree line. So it was cold up there, you know.
That's a good reason to snuggle.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, snuggling is good when you're married, right?
Yes,
so anyway, the This is, we're being told here, you got to go outside. All right? Most Christians will miss this. You know, this is not going to happen in a mega church, folks.
You got to have a, you got to have a little crew, okay?
Right.
Four or five people. Just think of how you can share the burden. Some people will be weaker. Some people will be stronger.
Right.
Some people, you can rearrange their pack to carry all the light stuff. You can unpack everybody's stuff and arrange the stuff that you need to carry. Well, you got some little gal that's not real stout. You can fill her pack full of all the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Everybody
vitamins and minerals.
Lots of vitamins and minerals, little med supplies, and right. Give her about a 45 to 50-pound pack. She can carry that.
Right.
Then you have some great big beast like me, 6'2 plus, an old farmer. Now, my knees are not good, but I have braces, and I can walk all day when I put those braces on. And I'm going to be carrying a big pack with lots of stuff in it. Plus, I'm going to be pulling my two-wheel cart. And the cart takes all the weight.
Yeah.
So I've got that cart loaded. You will see it at the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm bringing my go-kart.
Yes.
And I have a great big army duffel bag, and it's packed full in order. I'm going to unpack it in front of everybody. I'm going to do a demo. And I have tools. And I have medical supplies and cooking supplies, stuff that other people can't carry.
Yes.
Well, I have enough medical supplies like bandages and Band-Aids and rolled gauze and this and that for people that don't have the stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to leave a brother hanging because he got caught out and couldn't get his stuff. We're going to take care of our fellow Israelites.
Right. It's going to be important, too, to have at least one person in your party to be familiar with plants, edible plants. That's what they're talking about in the chat room.
We're going to do a seminar on that as well. Marilyn's got that, and I've got books on
and
that.
And a book. Yeah, each one of us should have a book on that subject so we can recognize edible plants and try not to eat, poison ivy. Right? So the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
That's what I'm talking about with this prepper stuff, folks.
That's right.
Okay. This is the gathering waiting for the bridegroom, and you need to have your lamp oil.
Yep. In other words, preparations.
Your bottle of ibuprofen or Tylenol your Band-Aids and your hydrogen peroxide and your water purification and all of this.
Oh, that's right.
You need to get ready. That two-wheeled cart will bear most of the weight.
It's home.
with that big duffel bag on it. And for heaven's sakes, don't buy a two-wheeled cart with inflatable tires.
Right. Yeah.
Solid tires only. You can't fix a flat out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay. Yeah.
You'll have to drag the doggone thing. It's miserable.
Yeah, so, and I'm sure, Pastor Steve, a lot of people listening are saying to themselves, I don't want to go through all this.
Well, right. Then die.
That's the choice.
There you go. Do what you want.
Right. Because the next verse says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, underline the word ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. All right? You better be ready. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, now listen, folks, I know you not. So if you don't take this gospel seriously, and we have to, because all the prophecies, certainly from the Christian identity point of view, all the prophecies of the Bible have been fulfilled up until these latter days, okay? Christian identity scholarship has proven that these biblical prophecies have come true, except for these latter-day prophecies. So, with everything else having come true prophetically, we need to take these cautionary verses seriously, very seriously. So, get on the stick, get your pup tent, buy two pairs of boots, walking boots, break them in, and be prepared to live outside for a while, because this is going to be the reality at the judgment day. Over to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got to break those boots in, because if your feet go down, you go down.
Yeah.
The most important part of your body is going to be your feet. You have to take care of your feet. You need antifungal powder. You need wool socks to wick the water away from them. You got to let your boots air out. You wear them one day, and you tie the strings together and tie them on your pack and walk along and let the air get in them and dry them out thoroughly. You're going to have ponchos with a liner, all kinds of stuff. I'm going to post the list.
All right. Okay. Very good.
I gave instructions on the last wake-up call show that aired on Thursday and Saturday on how to attach the duffel bag to the two-wheeled cart.
Okay.
I gave that. You guys can download that and listen to it. It'll tell you how to do that. You're going to need paracord. You're going to need to be able to tie stuff on. You're going to need a good backpack. You're going to need something to carry water in that doesn't slosh and make noise. So I suggest a Camelback. You're going to have to lay out a bit in cash to get all this stuff together and get it all ready and put it in your closet, and it'll be there when you need it. You don't have to pack up. It's already packed up. You grab the thing, you twist it around, you tow it and pull it behind you with one hand and have your hiking staff in the other hand, and you go. And you have your little crew ready, and you have a specific place that you're all going to meet and take off from there. You drive, put it in your car, and you drive there. And as soon as you get everything out and everybody's in place, you take off. You leave the cars there.
Yeah, and now's the time to buy when you have the time to wait for sales, closeouts, right? Advertised specials, etc.
And the stuff is available.
It's available now, right? Yeah. Otherwise, they wouldn't be advertising at a low price, right? So now's the time to prepare.
Oh, by the way, I want to mention.
Okay.
I want to mention. I just got a portable solar shower. Eli's got one. I've got one.
Right.
You can get them at Walmart for $8.95, and you can have a hot water shower wherever you go, as long as the sun is out.
Right. Yeah.
Heat water on a stove and have a funnel and pour the water in the thing.
Right.
You will have a hot water shower.
Yeah. When I was in Vietnam, we had 5-gallon showers, right?
Yep.
Basically, you had a curtain set up and a 5-gallon water can above you, and there was a shower head attached to it. And so some guy operated the shower head while you were standing down in there, and he sprinkled you to get wet so you could lather up, okay? You lather up, and then you use the rest of the 5 gallons to rinse off. And that's it. You got 5 gallons, right? This bladder is what, maybe a couple of gallons?
5 gallons.
Oh, it's 5 gallons. Oh, okay. Very nice.
Yep. You have a control over shower head that you control that hangs down, and
And I'm working on a shower tent that a circular rod, very light, and the vinyl shower curtains aren't that heavy either. So if you want some privacy while taking a shower, you can have privacy.
Oh, you can get some black plastic,
right? That
and
too.
Stick some poles in the ground. And the black plastic will also absorb heat, so it'll be warm.
Yeah, parkas. You can use parkas to, you know, drape them across the sticks. All right, so in any case, Matthew chapter 25 tells us to be ready, to be ready to go outdoors, right? Now, as far as old people are concerned, who don't get around too well, if they're a part of your party, you have to make preparations for that as well. So have a sanctuary picked out, and it's got to be away from the, as far away from the big cities as you can possibly be.
Well, the fast, the fastest speed your party can move is the speed of the slowest in your party. You can't leave people behind. You're going to have to accommodate. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be running around in the wilderness like these stupid Hollywood movies with Rambo and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
Real world.
Matthew says he does it with only 3 gallons. That's very good.
Well, that's good. That's 2 gallons for somebody else.
Yeah, that's right. Very good. All right, let's continue here. A Feast of Tabernacles. All right, so we know that this collapse of civilization is rapidly approaching. If you can't see that civilization is collapsing all around you, then you've been watching too much television and getting the wrong messages. You should. But the fact is, people watch television and see all this rioting in the streets, and they don't get it. They don't get it that it means that civilization is collapsing. They think the Democrats or Republicans are going to fix it. No, they're not, folks. It's beyond fixing, okay? So, ideally, the Feast of Tabernacles is to be celebrated outdoors in tents or whatever shelter you can make. The tents represent our place of refuge away from the judgment of this world, when we will have to flee from the cities where Mystery Babylon will burn. The book of Ezekiel tells us that Zog, the Zionist occupation government, will be consumed by his own armies after the invasion of true Israel will devolve into confusion and chaos among his assembled troops or people. During this time, it is best that we flee to the mountains. That's another warning we were given in the New Testament, and stay out of harm's way. Okay?
It will be like in the days of Gideon, when they went against the Midianites and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, the children of Kedem, that's the Muslims, and he whittled them down to 300 men.
That's right.
To get, because Yahweh would get the glory.
Yeah.
Now, with Gideon, they broke the jars and exposed the lamps and blew the shofars. And Yahweh caused confusion in the enemy camp, and each man turned on each other, and they slaughtered one another. And then Gideon and the men attacked when they were reduced in number, right, because they had a huge army against Israel.
Right.
And after that, after they won that victory, then the rest of Israel were summoned, and they piled on. They were not allowed in the initial attack. Mm-hmm. It had to be just Gideon and the 300.
Right, because they got the credit. They were
because
the only faithful
ones. Well, they didn't get any credit at all. They didn't fight at first. They let the enemy destroy themselves because Yahweh caused that. All to Yahweh's glory.
Yeah.
Now, we are not going to defeat the enemy.
Yeah.
Get that through your heads right there. We are too few in number to go against tanks and planes and drones and helicopters and all of that. Yahweh is going to do the smiting with his mighty angels.
Amen. Amen.
It tells that. He will get the glory, not us. I'm a great warrior. No, Yahweh is a great warrior.
Yeah. No, I'm just full of aches and pains.
We don't put our ego into it and take credit.
Right.
And all these so-called leaders out there that are leading our people into these premature battles, presumptively, they will look mighty foolish in the end.
Right. So Gideon's army represents the wise virgins who are ready. All right.
It represents the remnant.
That's too. That's correct. All right. So the Feast of Tabernacles is also referred to as the Feast of Ingathering, meaning the harvest of Israelites who will qualify for the kingdom. For this reason, it is a feast of great rejoicing, despite the inconvenience of having to live outdoors. Of course, for an agrarian people, and our people are the most agrarian of all, of course, we love the comfort of the big city as well, but we are the number one farming race on the planet. We always have been. So for them in those days, you know, in Old Testament times and even in New Testament times, this was not much of an inconvenience because the vast majority of our people were already farmers used to living outside, okay?
Going out and living in a tent for an extended period of time, if you are unprepared to do so, is going to be a miserable experience.
It's
going to
be miserable, even but if you got a tent.
But with proper preparation, it will not be. See, here we're talking about hot showers.
Right. Three hots in a cot.
We have to take the shower with us.
That's right.
And you empty it out, let it dry out, and you fold it up in one little tiny thing, and you stick it back in your pack.
Yeah, right.
You can always find a tree limb. Tree limbs grow everywhere. That's a habit that trees have of having limbs, see? And you can pick one of those convenient tree limbs and toss a rope over it.
Right.
And
hang a traitor.
Hoist that shower up. You build a shelter underneath it. You can lower it down to refill it.
Yeah, right.
And the same people can use the same shower. You put a piece of plastic down on the ground so you're not standing in mud.
Right, exactly.
And you go in there and you just pull the little makeshift shower door closed. And we'll have a stick in there with a little stub sticking out. You can hang your clothes on there. And you can wash off. You scrub, get your hair all wet, and you scrub everything down. And then you turn the water on. You rinse your hair, and you're all of you is wet at that point.
Yep.
Then you scrub down. You have a washcloth in there. You take a little squirt of water now and then to keep moist. And then when you're all scrubbed down, you use it to rinse off. Rinse your washcloth out and wipe everything off. You're standing on clean plastic.
Right. And if it rains, you have to practice this stuff, folks, because when the day comes, if you have no practice, everything is just not going to work. You know, you're going to get dirty. You won't be able to clean yourself. Hygiene will be a problem. The worst thing, the last time we had a rainy season, we did pretty well. Everybody had a parka, right? We kept things as dry as possible. And, we'd had to drink coffee outside in the rain, right? But we managed. We managed because we were prepared. But if you're totally unprepared, it's going to be miserable. Absolutely miserable. So,
And you cannot really expect us that are prepared to completely outfit you.
Right. You can't expect the wise virgins. You can't expect the wise virgins.
We can only take so much. Even me.
Right.
A big a bear as I am, you got to remember, an old grizzly bear is still a grizzly bear.
Right.
Okay. Anybody that meets me, they will understand.
Right.
pretty big dude.
The foolish virgins, we can, I'm sure the wise virgins will have only so much patience with the foolish virgins if they manage to stray into the camp, right? Okay, the Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible Commentary tells us this. The Israelites were commanded during the whole period of the festival to dwell in booths, which were erected on the flat roofs of houses, in the streets or fields, and the trees made use of are by some, I won't bother to name them all, whatever kind of shelter you can provide. While the solid branches were reserved for construction of the booths, the lighter branches were carried by men who marched in triumphal procession, singing psalms and crying Hosanna, which signifies, save, we beseech thee. Okay, it's all about the salvation of our people. It was a season of great rejoicing. But the ceremony of drawing water from the pool, which was done on the last day, seems to have been the introduction of a later period. See John 7:37. Maybe you could go there, Pastor Steve, John 7:37, while I read this. I'm not aware that this was part of a later period, but I'll just finish this quote. That last day was the eighth, and on account of the scene at Siloam, was called the great day of the feast of ingathering, when the vintage was over, was celebrated also on that day, and as the conclusion of one of the great festivals, it was kept as a Sabbath. Well, it's always a Sabbath, okay? It's part of the 7 day feasts or the 8 day feasts, all fall on regular Sabbaths, but they're high Sabbaths because of the feast, okay? So the pool of Siloam. And then what was that story all about, Pastor Steve?
John what, 7?
7:37. Okay, and I'll keep reading here.
I had to wait for Esau to come up.
Oh, okay. The last great day is symbolic of the triumphant return of our Savior when Yahshua returns with his angels to avenge his and our enemies. Glory, hallelujah. And I'll just quote here Leviticus 23:39. Beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to Yahweh for 7 days. The first day is a day of rest, and the eighth day also is a day of rest. And you can party hardy all the days in between. And, you know, of course, they would have to go out and get firewood and all that kind of stuff on the days in between. But we're commanded to rest on the first and the eighth days. Okay,
John 7:37, and the last great day, or the last day, that great day of the feast, Yahshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Drink what? The knowledge of Yahweh, okay?
Right.
John 38, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly... Okay,
solar plexus.
Shall flow rivers of living water. Well, that would be water of life.
Yeah, Holy Spirit, right. It could
to live life.
Yes.
Quickening waters, that gives you spiritual
right, eternal life. It represents eternal life for those wise virgins who have prepared themselves for what's coming.
Well, that pool of Siloam thing, you talk about the guy that couldn't get down in there because everybody jumped in before him.
Right. He was
okay, well, Yahshua countermanded what they were doing. They wouldn't let this sick man get down in there because everybody was self-centered and somebody jumped in before him and got that blessing.
Right.
Well, Yahshua healed that man. Said, you don't need that pool. I'll take care of it, in other words.
Right.
Rise up. And he was instantly healed.
Yes.
And only Yahshua could do that.
Mm-hmm. And
everybody just stood. Everybody stood and stared like, duh.
Yeah, in amazement, right?
Well, I mean, you know, you're dealing with the manifestation of Yahweh on earth. And he had the power of the Father here. He didn't have to surrender his life. He did it willingly to accomplish a task. He could have called down legions of angels.
Yes.
I mean, Yahweh was concerned with us. Because the bulls and goats weren't getting the job of redemption done. And he had to have a perfect sacrifice. Now, who would be a perfect sacrifice? No Adamite, especially not a non-Adamite. Only Yahweh in the flesh, born of a woman, would be perfect. He had the godly spirit within him, but he was born of Miriam, a virgin, who was made pregnant just by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And Joseph was all concerned, you know, here she's pregnant. Well, an angel appeared to him and said, no, this is of Yahweh, done by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Don't worry about it. And he said, yes, sir. And because of his faith in Yahweh, he believed and didn't put her away.
Yeah.
And later on, they had more children, the normal way.
Right.
Okay, man,
right.
Man, woman way.
Exactly. Yeah.
But this first child, the first fruits of her womb, were of holy seed line.
The Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
And just, you know, oh, I can't believe that. Well, I don't care what they believe.
Right, right.
I'm sorry. You know, all the miracles and everything that is done, and my personal contact with the Holy Spirit, people doubt until they actually have that contact. And it's overwhelming. And there is all doubt is removed. And you just don't care what other people think. Their opinion means nothing. And they say, well, I don't believe that. Well, so what?
Right. Yeah. Well, there's so many Christians who don't take the Bible at its word. They simply don't. Okay. They're kind of, what's the word? Blasé is the word I'm looking for. They're blasé about it.
Well, it's a social function for them. They go to church each week, and they put their suit and tie on.
Mm-hmm. Look good for each other.
Yeah, right? And then they go out and they live in the world the rest of the week.
Yeah, when you're camping, you see what everybody really looks like.
Right? Yeah, you know.
Right? Yeah. And then stressful situations will arise, you know, so you have to be mentally prepared. You have to be humble. You have to be gracious. All of these things come into play at Feast of Tabernacles, right? Because it's an outdoor experience. If you're not used to it, you are going to have a tough time. So get ready. Start preparing now. That's the message of this last show on the do's and don'ts of the Hebrew feast days. Okay, I'm going to quote now Revelation 22, 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city, which is Israel. You know, we're given very plainly in Revelation 22 the image of the city, the kingdom to come. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. In other words, the 12 tribes of Israel are going to be yielding perpetual fruit, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Okay?
I want to say hi to Pastor Dan. He's in the Chatango chat alongside the show schedule there. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Dan.
We've kept you in our prayers. We hope everything is all right with you.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been having the tabernacle, right? Through the hurricane.
Unwilling tabernacle. He had to scoot and camp out.
Yeah. And so, in Isaiah 65:17, behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. It's going to be a completely different world. Completely different world. So what is it from Revelation 22, verse 2? What is it that needs to be healed, Pastor Steve?
The souls of our people, primarily.
Right.
There have been so many that lose faith, because they're not grounded firmly in the scriptures, and that's the deception and the destruction of our people, of the Judeo-Christian churches. They don't teach reality; they teach fantasy and fairy tale.
Yeah.
And imagine me getting up in front of a Judeo-Christian congregation and speaking about all the stuff that's gonna come. It's bad now. We're in the tribulation now. It's not coming. It's here in its opening stages, and it will progressively get worse really fast. It's not going to be a slow, prolonged process. It's going to snowball. It's snowballing now. We've had all these disasters this month. We've got riots. The the French are rioting and fighting the Antifa in the streets.
Right.
And the police are overwhelmed. There's only so many police. Now, you're scared of them when there's 30 of them and one of you. But what if there's 3,000 of you and 10 of them? You think they're going to stand and fight?
Yeah.
No. No, they are not. They've been told to stand down. Well, what if they're told to go ahead? They're going to bring their bully boys out. But there's a lot of these white fellas out there that are some pretty rough customers. And they get a bunch of those with baseball bats against these cops with their batons. And the cop pulls a gun, and all of those white boys pull guns, too.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Right. It's getting to that point. It's getting to that point.
The people are beginning to see, especially the white people, that cops are part of the enemy.
That's right.
They are no longer to protect and serve. They are there to enforce the corporation's laws.
Yeah.
Against us. The laws are not there for our protection. The laws are there for our subjugation.
Yeah. Well, I can see the day where, especially white men who have lost everything. They have their homes, their families, their income. And when they have absolutely nothing left to lose. And we've seen episodes like this where one guy who used to work for the post office locked and loaded and just shot up everybody in the post office, right?
Well, you're going to get some guy whose wife and daughter have been raped and murdered.
Uh-huh.
And you remember the old Norse legends about the berserkers?
Right.
Okay.
Those weren't legends.
to go berserk.
Right.
Well, there's going to be one of these rallies, and these people of the ilk that did that to his family will be there,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to go berserk on them.
Right, right. I'm surprised
he's going to come. He's going to come strapped up.
Right, right.
And they are going to see the wrath of the awakened Saxon.
Amen, amen. And people will find out how useless police are. In situations like this, okay? Because especially even during Hurricane Katrina, we had black officers participating in the looting of the stores. You expect these black police officers to do their jobs under stressful circumstances? No, they're going to skedaddle. They'll be gone, and a lot of the white cops will skedaddle too.
So what happens when the pay system breaks down, Eli?
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, well, Hurricane Katrina happened like 2 days before the welfare checks came in the mail, right?
Yeah, so, well, when the thugs aren't getting paid like the Antifa, mm-hmm. George Soros, where's my money? Where's my money?
Yeah, take it to Tabernacles, yeah. Right? So it's very obvious that we have to disengage from this world, this evil world. Come out of her, right. My people. And literally, it's Feast of Tabernacles, a literal disengagement from this evil world. That's what it is.
And you get your little group together, and you put all your might. You can get a hold of my list when I publish it, and you can all have assignments where you assemble all this stuff and do your little group thing. Each little group is going to be different because there are different strengths and weaknesses in each group because of the different type of people within our Israelite nation that we're going to form. Everybody's going to have their assigned task. Everybody knows beforehand. Everybody, and you have to keep the group small, and you don't give out all your information to just anybody. Don't blab about it.
Right.
In the community, you keep it quiet. Keep your mouth shut. Yeah. And be wise as a serpent, harmless as the dove. Just keep it to yourself. Silence is golden, okay? because there's too many infiltrators and traitors and just general troublemaking scum out there that would love to just, just see you die. just because they're mean, rotten people. They don't need a reason. There's no reason with these people. There's no reason. They don't have a reason to exist. They're evil in the world.
Yeah.
And people don't like to believe that there's just plain evil.
They can't be saved.
Out in the world.
Can't be redeemed. It's going to be destroyed.
They're not even on the candidate list.
That's right.
and you need to live in the real world and stop believing what you see in these stupid movies. That's not how it really is. Combat in the movies isn't like real combat.
Oh, man. No, it's... Yeah.
No. It is not. Not at all.
It's miserable.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do when you have to drop the hammer on a man, another human being, even though he's your enemy, still a man? Are you going to have the stones to pull that trigger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But most people, no.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they fear me so much, why they're so afraid of me, because I've already done that.
Right. Yeah. So that day of wrath is coming. The Bible is, it's got to be hundreds of prophecies about the day of wrath. Yet the Judeo-Christians, they all believe in love, love, love. And Jesus loves everybody. So therefore, if Jesus loves Negroes with guns and machetes, they can't harm me. The hell they can't, because Jesus doesn't love everybody. I come not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And only, you know, the only non-Israelites that will be saved will be tangential, how should I put it, residents of the kingdom, but they will not be citizens of the kingdom. Okay? Only the 12 tribes of Israel, the 144,000, will be the government. And Yahshua will be our king. And anybody else that manages to make it in the kingdom will be ruled with a rod of iron.
Yep.
There will be no breaking the law.
Yeah, the grace period will end.
Yes, it will end.
At his return. Then the day of wrath.
Right.
And the numbers of the enemy will be so decimated within a 24-hour period. One avenging angel wiped out hundreds of thousands of enemy troops in a single night.
Yeah.
And you think he's lost? Lost power to do that today. And one angel, he's going to have legions of these destroying angels with him. And this is not just going to be in the United States and Britain and the Israelite country. This is going to be worldwide.
Right.
Worldwide. Right. The population of this planet will be reduced in a 24-hour period down to a manageable level.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So conclusion from all of this, from all of the rich symbolism of the Hebrew feast days, we can see that the appointed feast days represent types and fulfillments. Although we are told that no one knows the exact day or hour when he will return, as Matthew 24:36-50.
That's correct.
Okay, we are advised to observe the signs of the times so that we will not be caught unprepared when that day comes. May this sermon inspire you to prepare yourself for that day. And I posted the link to this article in the chat room again. And I advise everybody, and maybe I should even put that on the front page of Eurofolk Radio so people can, and there's also a related slideshow. So maybe after today's show, I'll put that information on the front page of Eurofolk Radio. The signs of economic collapse, decline of morals, famine, pestilence, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, and solar flares are upon us. When the seven thunders of the Feast of Trumpets sound, there will be no longer any doubt about his return. So we expect, Pastor Steve, that when that year arrives, that Feast of Trumpets will have especially loud, and people have recorded the sounds of earthquakes before the earthquakes occur, and they're like blasts of trumpets. Some of them kind of like weird sounds, like if you've ever been in a ship and you hear the creaking of the timbers, you know, they make weird sounds, the heaving and hoeing of the earth when an earthquake happens. So we anticipate earthquakes to accompany all this. From Habakkuk 2:2-3, when Yahweh answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie or fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Judgment Day is coming. The Bible assures us constantly that it is coming. Okay? But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:1-10. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yahweh so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, when the United Nations proclaims peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape.
Well, they say they're doing all these machinations for peace.
Right.
And they're crying, peace, peace, and there is no peace. Ever since the UN came into being, there's been nothing but constant war.
That's right. Constant.
There's been no abatement. There's been a war going on somewhere, yeah, and they've got their fingers in it.
That's right. And culture
all
war is constant. Yes. Yeah. So the UN is nothing but a product of the House of Rothschild banking fraternity, and they never intended for the UN to be a peace organization. It's intended to be a totalitarian dictatorship. All right? And you cannot expect peace from that type of organization.
And but, Yahweh has thwarted that. They've got some troops.
Oh, here in America, yeah, they have troops everywhere.
They've got troops here in America, but
yeah,
there's a lot more of us country folk out there that want their finger
right
on.
Yeah, and those
we
blue
know
helmets.
Every rock, we
right?
know every rock and bush and deer trail and cave and
yeah,
hoot and holler. You know they
right.
They get out in the country. They get into eastern Kentucky and try and invade over there.
Yeah, right.
guerrilla
warfare,
shame,
folks.
Shame on them.
Well, the redcoats.
Those old boys over there. If you aren't from there, they're going to shoot you, even if you're an American. They yeah. don't like anybody.
The redcoats, right? The redcoats have been replaced by the blue helmets, but they're financed by the same crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Nothing has changed. As I like to say, the more things change, the more the Jew remains the same. So it's still the Jews behind it.
We did it. We did an exercise with the militia.
Yeah, right.
And right. we attacked installations, and they had the dummies in there, and he sprayed a bunch of helmets blue.
Okay.
And boy, do they make nice targets.
Right.
And I had that Armalite AR-15
uh-huh.
with the big bull target barrel and that big scope on that. And I went bap, 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 and five helmets exploded.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that thing was virtually recoilless. It had no recoil at all. It wouldn't take
nice.
You off target. You just keep shooting.
Wow.
And, it was wonderful.
Save me one of those.
Well, I'm not allowed to have them anymore.
Oh, okay.
I'm not allowed to have, my toys have been taken.
Right, yeah. But when Mystery Babylon collapses, that won't mean anything.
Well, they'll be laying all over the street.
That's right.
Pick one.
Pick one up.
Good...
Right. Yeah, yeah. Gold and silver won't be worth anything, but ammunition will. Right?
Copper jacketed lead will be at a premium.
Right. That's right, right.
Yeah,
Paul
buddy.
Continues. Paul continues. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons. He's speaking to Israelites exclusively here, the Adelphos. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on that breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's not a blue helmet, folks. That's a crystal clear white helmet. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Yahshua Messiah, who died for us, not mm-hmm. for the whole world, who died That's for right. us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Again, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:1-10. So here Paul is telling us we better be ready. Okay?
Yep. Paul was a prepper.
That's right. Of course, in his time, you know, times were different in his day. Yahweh made use of him, and of course, he was killed by the Romans. And the life that he led was very fruitful and productive. And I would have to say, Pastor Steve, that without Paul's writings, the regathering of the 12 tribes, and what his main function was to make sure that the house of Judah recognized the existence of the house of Israel, the scattered lost sheep of the house of Israel, and become, you know, consider them as equals, even though they didn't obey all the rituals for the last 700 years, you know, as the house of Judah did. So there shouldn't be any lording it over the lost brethren. We should love one another, whatever stage of understanding we have, and it devolves upon those of us who have the most understanding to be leaders, okay? So those of us not a part of Your Folk Radio, those of you who are listening, go out and recruit, you know, find like-minded white Israelites and get them ready. Help get them ready. You don't have to be badgering them. You just tell them the truth. This is what the Bible says. It's time to get ready. The tribulation's here.
I try to lead by example. I don't ask anybody to do anything that I'm not doing.
Right.
When I tell the people to put a prepper kit together, I've already got mine, okay?
Yes.
It's going to be hard. I'm not promising a rose garden. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to be a picnic. It's not a weekend camping trip.
Who knows how long it's going to last? It might be 7 years, right?
Well, yeah. You know.
But once you're used to being outdoors and you're, you know, scavenging for edible plants and things like that, hunting deer, you know, Yahweh is not going to leave us, you know, without provisions. It just as the army of Gideon was protected by Yahweh. He will make sure. But if you're...
Well, same way with food gathering out there. People have asked me, are we going to be eating unclean animals? I don't know. I'm not there yet.
Yeah. I don't think we'll need to. I think Yahweh will provide for us because he will recognize our faith. Okay?
I believe that too.
Yes.
I have to... Mm-hmm. I have to put full trust in him because I don't see any other way out. I don't see any hope in mankind or in arms and ammunition. You know, trust not in horses and chariots, it said.
Yeah.
And weapons of war.
For the Israelites in the wilderness.
Trust in Yahweh.
Yeah, the Exodus wilderness, he provided them with manna.
Okay. Yeah, I think he'll do the same thing again. White woman 88 said we should not eat unclean food. I agree.
Yes. No.
I agree. And she says Yahweh provided manna. like minds think alike. Newsers say it. She's thinking the same thing.
Yeah, right.
I love it.
She's a Polish Israelite.
Well,
right. Okay.
That's some tough folk over there.
Yeah. Right.
Now.
Yeah.
And quail.
Right.
Yeah. There's quail. Yeah. That quail's good. Wild turkey. Yeah. Deer. Yeah.
Right.
Stray cattle.
Yeah, I may have to do without sangria for a few years.
Oh, no.
Right. But it's the Feast of Ingathering. We'll have some grapes, right? We'll have grape juice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know anything about brewing or winemaking, so I'm in trouble. All right, finally.
Well, we'll have to bring a couple of libtards along.
Yeah,
so they can whine a lot.
Right.
And we'll store up their wine.
Right. Here you go. All right, it's bitter whining, right? Okay,
yes.
And Revelation 21, verses 3 through 5. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with Adamites, and he will dwell in a tent, tabernacle, skinu, 23 skinu with them, and they shall be, sorry, bad pun, two demerits for that one. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Okay? I mean, what more do you need to look forward to? What a tremendous promise this is for the faithful Adamites. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Okay, so if you are a real Bible believer, and all these Judeo-Christians say, well, we're Bible believers. We believe.
Okay, you know, remember Jonah? And he was suffering from the heat, and Yahweh made a vine grow up to shelter him overnight.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
And then he whined and cried about that, and then Yahweh killed the vine. But
right?
the point I'm making is, if we're going along and we're getting hungry, and we go to bed at night, and we walk 30 yards down the trail, and there's all these fruits that have grown up overnight.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
we're talking Yahweh here. We're not talking mankind's pathetic science.
That's right. That's right.
We're talking Yahweh's, and you don't think Yahweh will do miracles for us? Oh, please.
Right. But if you don't have faith.
Just look, all right, I will use a fact right now. Y'all are listening to EFR. You don't think this is a miracle? A lot of people put a lot of work and effort into it, but Yahweh facilitated it and made it happen to get his word out. This is a working miracle of Yahweh right here. And he has assembled a group of people that are dedicated to his word to speak on this internet radio station. He brought all of us together under his banner. You don't think that's a miracle? And these days when everything else has been taken down, yeah, we've been attacked. But Yahweh has protected us.
Yep,
Yahweh
we're still
will
here.
Continue to protect us as long as we are in his will. That's the main point. Speak the word. Don't get off into Planet X and all that rest of that stuff.
Yeah, if it happens, it happens.
It happens, right? It happens. We need to stay straight in the word. That's what my radio shows are. He gave me command of those languages for a reason. It's not my doing. It's Yahweh's blessing on me that I'm commanded to pass on to my brothers and sisters. All I try to do is quote his word and the understanding that he has given me of this word. And I get comments from the chat room and from emails and stuff. And I look up and I use the blessings that he has given those people to send me to further instruct me. I listen to David James, never miss his shows, and I get new information from David that I've never seen. And I look it up, and it's right dead on the money. I am not only a part of EFR, I'm one of its biggest fans.
Great. Me too.
Because I learn from these other knowledgeable people on all these different shows. There's something in there for me every day. So if you don't think this is a miracle of Yahweh, I don't know what to say. It's been a blessing to me. It certainly has.
A change of venue for you.
Well, yeah. Right. You know, from prison to preaching.
Yes, there you go. Right?
Okay. Yeah. Now, why would he choose me?
Yes.
I don't know. I'll have to ask him.
You're such a lovable guy. That's why.
Well, but I try to make it enjoyable.
Sure.
And I try to be lighthearted about it because it's a joy and a pleasure. This is not a burden. Yeah, I work hard, and it keeps me off the streets, keeps me out of trouble. Well, supposedly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's always people who want to make trouble for us, right?
But bring it on.
Yeah, bring it on. There you go. Yeah, bring it on. So, all right, folks. So I think this is an apt conclusion to our study on the Hebrew feast days, their prophetic significance. Stay tuned for David James Show and Pastor Dan Johns. Praise Yahweh is back,
assume. Yeah, he's back. Yeah.
Ready to do a live show after that. And who knows what Paul has scheduled for the rest of the day. He was working while we slept.
Paul English is a hero as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. He has worked double overtime. And he is one of the reasons that AFR is in existence. David James has done a lot. Eli's done a lot. It's just been wonderful.
Yeah.
So thank you, Paul.
Yes.
Very, very, very much, brother.
The technical aspects have been a challenge. And, of course, since our PayPal account has been suspended by PayPal, we're working on using credit cards for donations and purchases. But in the meantime, everybody can go to www.anglo-saxonisrael.com. And the PayPal button there is still working if you want to donate or if you want to purchase one of the books that's available. And ultimately, American National Publishing will be making all kinds of Christian identity books available and conspiracy books, et cetera, et cetera. This is our plan, but we just haven't gotten that far yet because we only have so much time and only so much money to work with, right? So we're doing the best we can, but the word is getting out, and we're also planning on having multilingual shows, okay, for the Boer people, for example, for French speakers, Swedish speakers. We're going to try to get in touch with all the Eurofolk because a lot of the Eurofolk are totally ignorant of Christian identity, and that's got to change, okay? All right, so this is our goal here at Eurofolk Radio, to bring the flock back, and because not all of them speak English. They need to hear this in their own languages to really understand, okay? All right, Pastor Steve, great show, and we'll have to think about what to do next week, new topic. In the meantime, praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you next time.
Shalom aleichem, my brothers and sisters.